Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to the A to Zayas Positive Male Response Summit blog talk show. I'm Sharonda Arnold, and I am really, really excited for you all to be facilitating this talk show this morning. One of the things that we're going to be talking about is owning your story. And in order to be a positive male factor in life, you must own your story. And today we're going to talk about what exactly that looks like. We're going to wait a few minutes for the callers to come rolling in so we can get the show started. But we are really excited, and I'm excited about hearing your responses of what you think owning your story looks like and how owning your story has been impactful in your own personal life. Looks like we have a caller. I'm going to bring her in. Caller, if you can tell me your name and where you're from, that would be great.
Hi, my name is Delzora, and I am originally from New Orleans, Louisiana, and I'm actually the president of Justice from A to Zayas. How are you this morning?
Awesome. I am wonderful, and I'm just so happy to have you on the call. Our president, she has a clear vision of what she wants A to Zayas to look like, and so we've been very impactful in the community with her vision that she's manifesting.
So, Miss Arnold, I'm talking about owning your story.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we're talking about owning.
I'm excited. Let us get started. Like, what, you know, go ahead and tell us what is this topic really all about, and how does this connect with positive male responses?
Okay, awesome. So, yeah, let's just go ahead and get started. What I'm talking about is owning your story. There is so much power in owning your story. A lot of times our Black males experience a lot of things in life, and it causes them not to own their story. But what I want to talk to them about today is being confident and being able to own the story that they've established throughout their entire life. So what is actually owning your story? Owning your story is, what is your story? Your story is your life, the challenges, the ups and downs, all of the things that have made you into the young man or the man that you are today. And if we just really want to be real, this can be applied to anybody, just not black males. So I wanted to talk to you all about the positives of owning your story. When you own your story, it allows you to become powerful. When you don't own your story, that is when shame creeps in. So when you own your story, you understand that all of your experiences have caused you to be the amazing person that you are. And it's perfect. And that's not that you're perfect from a sense of without blemish, but from a sense that everything that I have experienced has made me into the man that I am today. So when you own your story, you don't really look at life as failures. Even when you don't do things that you're necessarily proud of, you look at it as, you know what, I either win or I learn. I either win or I learn. So it life becomes a learning experience, because when we are stuck in failure, there's no power in failure. When we feel like, oh my goodness, I failed, that's not empowering. It doesn't empower us to move forward with our lives. And like I said, when we don't own our story, we're more susceptible to shame. So what shame looks like is it's an unhealthy emotion that causes us to shrink. It causes us to shrink. And our Black males are already up against a lot of things in the world that attempts to put obstacles in our in their way to cause them to question themselves in the first place. So We don't want them to be shameful of their story, because when you experience shame, it gets in the way of your worthiness. And so they're already up against a lot of external factors. And so we want to make sure that their internal is in check. So when the external factors are coming against them, they can have their worthiness in line, and they won't shrink. And they said, I'm reminded of the quote, and it says, if there is no enemy within, then the enemy outside can do us no harm. And what that looks like is, if you're absolutely understanding how to not self-sabotage or allow these external factors to be a reflection of your worthiness, then you're more able to conquer life, okay? And so when you own your story, it puts you in a place where you understand your worth, you understand your worthiness. Many times our Black males, their worthiness is tied to their experiences, the way people treat them, the way society looks at them. And a lot of times that becomes, their worthiness becomes indicative of these experiences. But when you own your story, you realize that you're enough. Society's inability to recognize their value has nothing to do with their worthiness. They just realize that they are worthy. When you don't own your story, you're in this factor of not feeling like you're enough. When you don't feel like you're enough, that means that our Black males have allowed society to kind of paint the picture, and their experiences to paint the picture of their worthiness. And so we want to encourage you to own your story, our Black males, and encouraging them to own their story so that their worthiness can just be tied into who they are, understanding that they're valuable as a person, and it doesn't have to. Their value is not determined by society's inability to recognize who they are. The third thing that I want to talk about is when you own your story, it inspires you to be greater. And then it inspires our Black males to write the book of their life that they really want. So every experience they experience in their life has the ability to be a chapter, or it has the ability to be an entire book. So the way that our Black men can create the story of their lives is continuing to write chapters in their book. When we don't own our story, we allow something that is supposed to be a chapter in our book to become the entire story. And when we allow something that is supposed to be a chapter in our lives become the entire story, it's crippling to us. So, for example, I'm reminded of one of my really close friends, someone that's very dear to me. He grew up in Clio, South Carolina, and when he grew up, we have a new caller. Caller, if you can just state your name and where you're from. Hello?
Ocean from South Carolina.
Okay, awesome. Okay, great. And so it's amazing that you come on, Mr. Ocean. I was just telling your story. I was talking about how when in life we are all writing a book, and a lot of times we allow chapters in our life that are supposed to be chapters in our life to become our entire book. So I was talking about how this young man was in high school, and he was a star football player. And when he, in his life, he had a lot of challenging experiences. He had to witness the death of his father and actually seeing his father's body removed out of his house. He had to experience the trauma of a lot of different things, the trauma of not having his father and growing up with his father because of the experiences that he's, because of, you know, seeing his death. Another one of the things is that he was a star football player. And in being that star football player, there were a lot of gaps in the education. He, of course, because he was making this cloud for the school and bringing so much attention from the school, a lot of times the school wasn't necessarily concerned with him academically. So it ended up being that he ended up graduating from school in Clio, South Carolina, and he was 478th out of 500. When he graduated, he could barely read. And nobody knew that. Nobody knew that. And I'm reminded of a story that he told me is that when one of his teachers told him that beyond high school, he wasn't going to be anything. So after he graduated high school, he began to work in a factory. But something in him knew that he was destined for more than what he was experiencing. But I just say this to say is that he knew that he was destined for something more. He knew he was destined for something more. How did he know how he was going to get there? No, he didn't, but he became creative. And so he didn't allow that chapter in his book to become his entire story. Ultimately, he was given another opportunity to go play football at a college, and he went to a couple of colleges, but he ended up graduating. And he was a star player at his college and even entered into the NFL draft and furthered his education even more and earned a master's degree in social work and is a therapist. And he reads now 2 to 3 books a week. And he is just a testimony to his family, to what owning your story and not allowing something that was supposed to be a chapter become the entire book. He was determined not to allow that to happen. And now he is just a person that is truly guided and has a commitment to inner peace and the willingness to be guided through change with an unwavering belief system and faith and a need to add value to people's lives. And as a result of adding value to people's lives, he's able to impact young people. He's able to impact anybody that he comes into contact with. And part of that happened by his willingness to own his story. So next we talked about the positives of owning your story. And the next thing we're going to talk about is how do you own your story? And the first thing that you have to do to own your story is absolutely embrace it. You embrace your story, and you look at your story without placing any judgment on yourself. You don't judge yourself. You just look at your story. You look at your experiences. You look at your life, and you don't judge it, and you embrace it as everything. You embrace it as perfection, that everything is perfect. All of your life is a total sum of what you're supposed to be experiencing right now. Because when we actually look at our lives and we judge it, it doesn't empower us to do better. And judging ourselves never, absolutely never, ever makes us feel better about ourselves. Number two is tell your story in such a way that it empowers you, that it empowers you. And this is very, very important. Because when we tell our story in such a way that empowers us, it gives us inspiration to keep moving forward. And as a black
man,
they are up against. Yes?
I was just going to ask. So when you say, you know, and I heard everything you said, and this is Miss Barnett again. When you say tell your story to the young male, telling their story, will we say that this keeps them empowered because it doesn't allow anyone to be able to take their story and create their story for them. For instance, you know, the statistics states, you know, our society states that black young males, you know, especially the black young males, that, you know, they're going to wind up in prison and different things like this. How, with them telling their story, how does this impact the change for their own life, to take credit for their own life?
Well, when they're able to tell their story, that means that they own it and they're not judging themselves and they're not judging anything that they've experienced as negative. They're just looking at it as it is. So when they tell their story, they don't allow people to – many times when we experience mistakes in our life, when somebody else talks about the mistake that we experience or that we've done, it creates shame in our lives. But if we own it as, hey, it's a part of my story, then when somebody talks to us or tries to confront us about what we've done in our life, we're not shameful and we don't shrink. We own it as, hey, this is a part of my story. It's not good nor bad. It's perfect because it's created the person that I am right now. And I know that who I am right now is only going to get better. Because I don't fail. I either win or I learn, and I learn from that thing that was considered, I guess, a mistake.
Right.
Okay.
If this is Ms. Ocean, if I'm hearing you correctly, Ms. Ono, you're saying, in essence, you're saying, as a young black male or as a black man, when you begin to take ownership, when you begin to take that responsibility, it develops a hunger. It makes you hungry. It puts you in the mind, the state of mind of achieving, accomplishing. Because the whole idea is, you know, to put yourself in the perception that other people's opinion of you doesn't matter. It's what you believe which becomes reality. So it's almost taking your story and using it and flipping it. It's almost taking your story and flipping it.
Exactly, Ms. Ocean, and that's a great point, and that's what I was trying to pull out. That is a great point. So when we have a young male that's faced with, for instance, we got a young male, black male in the ghetto, and we're telling him, you're teaching him to own his story, teaching him to take responsibilities for his actions and understand that no matter what nobody else thinks of you, you cannot allow that to affect you. But they're in the midst of a drug addict mother, a father in prison. When they walk to school, they're being pulled to join a gang. How do we keep this kid mind focused on staying positive and not allowing the situations that he is surrounded by, his lifestyle, to affect him and to stay positive and thinking that I am who I say I am and I have to create me out of all of this adversity? How do we continually plunge that into the young male?
I think, of course, it's something that's going to be challenging. But if I go back to my second point, when I say how do you own your story, and you tell your story in such a way that it empowers you, right? So if he's a black young male, father is in prison, and mom is a drug addict, the way that the story could be told that would be disempowering is, you know what? My daddy is in jail. My mom is a drug addict. And I know that this is my absolute lot in life. I know that based on their experiences, and I probably will be the same thing and I won't be nothing. Okay?
Right.
But that's a way that you tell a story that's disempowering. But the way that you tell your story in a way that empowers you is that, you know what? My dad is in jail. And my mom is a drug addict. But you know what? I'm seeing every day of how they're struggling, and I'm seeing that I'm not in that place right now, and I'm seeing what I can possibly do to move forward and not make the same mistake and learn from what they're experiencing, although I'm seeing this every day. Is it going to be challenging? Yes it is. But if they tell their story in such a way that empowers them to say that, you know what, this is what I'm seeing and this is what I can learn from this, then it will help them to be propelled and move forward in the way that they need to. Are you saying something, Mr. Ocean?
Yeah, I was about to say, I think I definitely, you know, agree with what you all are saying. Coming from that black male perspective, one of the things that I use and I like to add value and clarity to is positioning. How do you continue to keep that person or that young black male that sees, you know, a situation where, you know, his mom, they're impoverished. Dad is incarcerated. You have drug usage going on in the home. It's mental position. We not only have to feed the mind, we have to feed the body and the spirit as well. It has to come from a positioning. We have to position them in such a manner that no matter where they come from, no matter what they're up against, that they're going to stay in that position. They're going to stay in that framework. They're going to stay in that mindset of success. And the way to get that is you first have to teach them how to forgive themselves. You have to teach them to forgive themselves because they're not at fault. Or if they are at fault, that mistakes happen. And we have to move on. And we have to press through good, bad, and ugly.
Oh, Mr. Osher, you just hit on something right there, sir. You're exactly right, and that's what this engaging in conversation is about, so that we can take this into the community. Forgive yourself. You hit on it. So that's what we have to get these kids to understand, just like you all are saying. This is such a great show, Shawanda, because they're not accountable for their parents' actions.
We have a caller that just came in, and I want her to introduce herself and say where she's from. Hello? Caller?
Did she hear you?
I think she can.
Well, go ahead and finish that point. I wanted to say this before, and because the piece about positioning the mindset is so it's something that has to happen because that's where the life takes meaning. When someone sees things that they can have, and you take people out of the community, and they see dreams and they see things that they can hold and it can manifest itself, and even when they can't see them things, but they know that those things are there. When you're positioning and you're setting that mindset up for success, that's when the development of meaning comes into place. You have to drill what success is and how that meaning of success will help propel them through all odds. And that's where the motivation factor is going to come from. You got to help them set goals. You got to teach them how to set goals and what comes from and transforms through goals. It's change.
Right.
And it's going to help them go with life in an unstoppable manner. But it all starts from the positioning of the mindset. How do we keep them in that framework? How do we continue to motivate through that framework? And it's always, it's one thing that Ms. Arnold and I always talks about. It's about prevention. Prevention. This goes full circle back into the prevention mode. If we're doing what we're doing now, getting on the radios, getting on the airwaves, advocating, motivating, pushing out positive vibes and aspiring to uplift, this is already one step closer to where we were, you know, weren't yesterday. Because of the simple fact that it's a prevention method. It's a prevention matter. You know, now we just have to add the other pieces as well. Execute as well. Great, great, great word, execute.
Right. And you know what, Ms. Osher and Ms. Arnold, that is so valid because you're right. Now where do we go from here? Owning your story, and I'm so glad you chose this topic because that's what we have to continue to put into our young black males and young males, period, that no matter what you're faced with at home, no matter what is in your community, and here's what I wanted to come out of you because, Mr. Osher, you own it now. Here's what I need to come out is that as adults, we gotta start owning our story and stop hiding. Because when they see that Mr. Osher been through something, but look how he came out of it, and he can honestly say, I came from this, or I was a part of this, or I tell them, you know, hey, I was a rape victim, but I didn't let that stop me. See, that's when the young male or the young female can say, hold on, you was raped. You went through this and that.
and you still kept pushing. You still became educated. You got your degrees. You started businesses. You did this. You did that. Then that's when they say, oh, there's hope for me. Because if she was able to do that, I can do it as well.
Absolutely.
And that's adults.
Yeah, and when you say that, you remind me of a quote by Gandhi that says, "You must be the change you wish to become. You must be the change you wish to see in the world." And that was so elegantly said and beautifully mapped out. Ownership in our story is so key. It's transformative. To sit down in front of me, being a therapist, for me to be able to identify and to sit down and tell that young black man, I was once a person that couldn't read. I was once the jock, only an athlete. But now I'm here. This is where I came from. I mean, even before I began my master's program, I was homeless. Didn't have anything to eat, but I still had a young man, a son to take care of, one that didn't know I was going through those different things, those different trials, you know,
right,
on a daily basis. But I knew I saw something in myself. I saw myself being somewhere, and I've constantly told myself that I will be the man who I want to see change the world. And I've always lived by that standard. I'm always intentional about everything I do. And that's because I position my mindset in such a state that it will not be deterred. It will not be.
That's great.
It will not be push yourself to the side, because what our thoughts, they are valid. No matter how young, no matter how old, no matter, you know, where you are on that line, they are valid. And that's another point too. We must sit down and actually hear from the kids. So we are hear from the young African American males. So we. Because we have to take what they say and value as well, because they have
and then
more thought and positioning in their mindset to get us where we need to go as well.
Right, and that's a great point that you made, and it comes to our last point of how do you own your story. And the last point that I said, that you have to love yourself. I mean, we have to really teach our black males self-love. You know, and to understanding that their value is not in things and their experience that they've experienced in life, and knowing that they can add value to this world, and that they're the best thing that has ever happened to themselves and in this world. And so that was the last point of how you own your story. So the first one was to embrace it. The second was to tell your story in such a way that it empowers you. And the third point in how to own your story is to love yourself. And so we only have about 2.5 minutes left on the show.
Ms. Arthur, can I say one thing before I go? I just want to say that was elegant. The points were great. And I just want to leave everyone with this last quote and by Gandhi. Nobody can hurt me without my permission.
Come on. That's true. Yes, that's powerful. No one, exactly. Because no matter what you've been through, thank you so much for that. Because you know what? Even being raped at a young age.
Absolutely.
Yes. You invaded something. You took something from me. But how about I'm not going to let you have the power.
Absolutely.
To keep me locked in, and unable to move forward. And that's
absolutely
exactly right. We cannot. Shawanda, you're going to have a part two to this show. I hope you know that. You're going to have a part two, because this owning your story, this is so powerful that you have to do this again, because we're not finished. We got a lot more to give to this topic, young lady. This is great.
Absolutely.
Very elegant.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you so much, caller.
Right,
you know, I just want to reiterate the importance of owning your story. And when we don't own our story, we're susceptible to shame. And so if we own our story, we'll never be susceptible to shame, and we can fully embrace and move in the power that we're supposed to move in. So I just want to thank all of the callers today. I thank each and every one of you for being able to share your opinions and your thoughts about how owning your story has impacted in your life, and how we can teach these young black males to fully embrace and own their story. And again, I just thank you so much for everybody being on the talk show. And y'all have a wonderful day, and let's continue to impact this community and continue to nurture and speak into our young black males so that they can be the thriving example. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and Ms. Arnold, we want to thank the listeners as well. Thank you so much for listening. Even if you didn't call in, we A to Z want to thank you for being a part and being supportive to the Positive Male Response show and the movement that we have. And Ms. Arnold, you have to keep that young man in focus and in his in contact for when we do the Positive Male Response weekend in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you. Okay.
Bye-bye.